Welcome to Torah Tinecha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aliza Davis, and today we are studying Sefer Yoel, Parak Bet, Chapter 2. In our previous podcast, we gave an overview of the Sefer, with the first two chapters discussing a plague of locusts, and the second two describing Yom Hashem, a day of judgment for the nations. The first two chapters can be divided into five units, which we will refer to as units A through E. A and B are in chapter 1, and today we will discuss units C, D, and E. C and D continue with a description of the destruction, while E discusses the promise for salvation. When you read chapter 1, it sounds like a severe plague of locusts, describing the destruction of the crops and the hunger that follows. Chapter 2 gives a much more severe description and sounds much more like a war. In section C, which is chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, we will look at some of the phrases that sound much more warlike than an actual plague of locusts. So, for example, we have in verse 1, Tiku shofar b'tzion v'har'iu b'har kachi, yirgizu kol yoshvei haaretz ki bayom Hashem ki karov. Blow a shofar in Zion, sound an alarm on the holy mountain. Let all dwellers on earth tremble, for the day of Hashem has come, it is close. In this first phrase, we have two important phrases. Kol yoshvei haaretz, which is a repeating phrase that can be found in each section of the destruction in A through D. Kol yoshvei haaretz, all those who reside in the land. And then we actually have the term ki ba yom Hashem, the day of Hashem has come. Yom Hashem is synonymous with Yom Hadin, the day of judgment, and it is a term that is used to describe a day of judgment and the end of days and the coming of Mashiach. So even though this section C is meant to still be describing the plague of locusts, we have this phrase Yom Hashem, this day of Hashem. And as we continue through this section, I was just going to choose some phrases that sound much more warlike. So, for example, in Pasuk Dalet in verse 4, Kimar esu sim mar ehu. They have an appearance of horses. They gallop like steeds. This again sounds much more warlike than locust-like. In verse 5, Kikol markavot al reshei haharim yirakidon. Kikola havish ochla kash ka'am atzum aruch milchama. With a clatter of chariots, they bound upon the mountains. With a noise like a blazing fire consuming straw. Like an enormous horde arrayed for battle. Very warlike pasuk. Continuing to verse 7, Kegiborim yirutzun, ka'anshe milchama ya'alu choma, v'ish bedrachav yilichon, v'lo yabtun or chotam. They rush like warriors, they scale a wall like fighters, and each keeps its own track, their paths never cross. So all these really sound very warlike. And then at the end of section C, in verses 12 to 14, we have a call for teshuvah. In verse 12, we are told, V'gam atani yom Hashem, shuvu adai b'chol levavchem, b'tzom b'buchi b'mispeid. And now Hashem says, return to me with all your hearts, with fasting and crying and eulogies. And then in verse 13, we're told, Kru'u levavchem v'al bigdechem, v'shuvu al Hashem elokechem, ki chanun v'rachum hu, erech apayim v'rav chesed, v'nichem al hara'ah. This pasuk very much has a reference to the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim, Hashem's 13 character traits of kindness. We're told that we should tear our hearts and our clothing and return to Hashem because He is kind and compassionate. He is slow to anger, He is full of kindness, and He has mercy on bad. And so this is a very strong call for teshuvah, referencing Hashem's, 13 character traits of kindness. The next section, which we are referring to as section D, the final section which calls for teshuvah, this begins, the Ashkenazim actually add this section to the Haftorah for Shabbos Shuvah, the Shabbos right before Yom Kippur. And they include from chapter 2, verse 15 until the end of the chapter is included in that Haftorah. Section D is a very short section. It only includes verses 15 to 17. And in this section, we are calling to specific people, groups of people within the Jewish people, to cry and to mourn. In verse 16, we are told, Ispuam kadshu kahal kivtsu zekinim, ispu olalim v'yon keshadayim, yitzecha tamichadro v'kala mechupata. Gather the people, tell the congregation to purify themselves, bring together the old, gather the babies, the nursing children, let the groom come out of his chamber and the bride from her chuppah. Why are we calling a bride and a groom? That we are taking people at the height of what is supposed to be their happiness on the happiest day of their life, and we are calling on them. We expect even those at the moments of happiness will be crying over the destruction of this day. And we call the children, even those are nursing babies, we call on them to cry. Perhaps that because the adults seeing children suffering is the worst, you know, for an adult is such a hardship, so that the adults will cry seeing the children cry from the hunger of the times. Or perhaps we need the tefillos, we need the prayers of children, the innocent prayers of children will penetrate the Hashem and change the decree. And it continues in verse 17, Bein ha'ulam lamizbeach yivku ha'kohanim. The kohanim will be standing where they're used, that the kohanim will be standing by the altar, and they will be crying at the place where they are used to blessing the people and wishing good upon us. They will see the destruction, and they will be crying. So this third section, section D, is the most severe in its description of sadness. It doesn't even say to do teshuva, to repent, but it's just really just there's sadness and crying. This concludes the final section of sadness and desolation. The final section in the end of chapter 2, which starts with verse 18 until the end, is comfort. And this has a promise for the future of better times. At this point in this section, the language of the Navi switches to first person. Up until this point, the Navi had been speaking in third person, Hashem talking to us through a messenger. But at this point, Hashem switches to first person and is speaking directly to us. With the comfort comes closeness to Hashem. And this first person language continues throughout the rest of the Sefer, also giving continuity to the Sefer. And we are told in verse 19, Vaya'an Hashem vayomir la'amo hinini shaleach lachem et hadagam v'hatirosh v'hayitzar, that Hashem responds to his people saying, I will grant you the new grain, the new wine, and the new oil. And now it continues with comfort, and Hashem says in verse 20, Ve'et ha-tziponi archik me'alechem, that Hashem will distance the tziponi from us. And now we can interpret that phrase on a number of different levels, which really explains the general concept in this last section. We can either say ve'et ha-tziponi archik me'alechem, perhaps that is referring that Hashem will distance us from the locust that comes from the north, tzafon meaning north, and Hashem will distance the locust that has come from the north. That's one understanding. Another possibility, tzafon is referring to a nation from the north that has oppressed us, referring to Ashur, Assyria, that Hashem will protect us from the oppression of the northern kingdom of Assyria. Another possibility is that tziponi is referring to the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination that is Safun, meaning hidden within us, and Hashem will protect us from that evil inclination, and it will no longer be a threat. So we can understand that there's different levels of protection that Hashem is assuring us in this final section of chapter 2. He's speaking to different elements of safety. We will be physically safe in our land, that the locusts will no longer be a threat. We will be safe from external threats, that Ashur, Assyria, will no longer be a threat. and we will be safe from internal threats inside of ourselves, of overcoming our yetzer hara, our evil inclination. And this could also help us understand why this section is read on Shabbos Shuvah, the Shabbos before Yom Kippur, because it is a call to for teshuvah. In conclusion, the Da'at Mikra concludes that Sefer Yoel is two different topics, the plague of locust and the description of Yom Hashem, but there is a connection. In the final section of chapter 2, the other nation's wrath towards us is not only during the time of a locust, but any time that the land is productive, the other nations will trouble us. Salvation from the locust is not a forever salvation. Therefore, Yoel goes on to continue that in the future, there will be complete salvation from the nations that trouble us. He uses language that is similar to the language used by the locust plague, hinting that the nations in the future will be similar to the locust that his generation experienced. Just like the locust, the nations will rise up against us in large numbers. Just like the locust, the nations will destroy everything in their path. In this way, the incident of the grasshoppers, which the Da'at Mikra holds actually happened during the time of Yoel, is a model and an example of what will happen regarding the other nations in Acharit Hayamim at the end of days. Thank you for learning together. Li'ilei Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Svi Yosef.